It is so good to be here with you. As Daryl was saying, it's been 6 months. 6 months since I joined in this role as part of the pastoral leadership team, and this is the second time I've been in the church building, and that is weird. And I am gonna be just fine when we're back together again. It is so good to see you all. And to be in front of people while I'm speaking, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't know, I went back and listened to your sermons, I catch most of the sermons. Sarah, I just really appreciate your words last week. Thank you so much for sharing. So excited about this sermon series, God Empowers the Church, but it is a lot easier to preach in front of people, let me tell you, woo, than in front of a screen or in front of. And so I'm really grateful that we can be here together. A lot's happened since I was last even preaching with you through a computer screen. We had a baby, and that has been, wow, kind of forgot about how intense that all is. And going from 3 children to 4 children seems like it wouldn't be that crazy, but it's been exciting. And so I feel like I keep experiencing this like fishes and loaves kind of reality. Oh, I should show you my face one time so you can see it. This is what I look like. I'm gonna hold my breath, ready? I do that every day with my students at school. And I feel like I keep experiencing this like feeding of the 5,000 where 2 or 3 30-minute segments of sleep equals somehow 9 hours of sleep. And I'm like, oh, I'm good to go for the day. God has again multiplied these very small resources of sleep to make me feel like I can continue to engage in the world around me. God empowers the church. God empowers the church. I remember in Sarah's sermon, she said, in times of trouble and in times otherwise, how has God empowered Zion? How has God empowered the Mennonite church, the worldwide church? She talked about how in Acts 3, God empowered followers of Jesus, post-resurrected Jesus, post-returned to heaven Jesus, to heal a man who hadn't walked, right? Only by the power of God could something like that happen. Only by the power of God could that happen. And so we're seeing glimpses and hints of this resurrection power in the early church. Empowered for what? Making God's kingdom known here on earth. Healing in hope in places where it has no business to be. That is the resurrection power. And the church bears witness to the Holy Spirit's movement over and over again in scripture and in history, of times where there should be nothing but death and despair, where somehow God's hope breaks in and flickers. And I'm just stuck. I'm stuck on this new little baby kick right now because it's all consuming, and seeing the joy and excitement that comes with a new child, and also the fear of like, this is a fragile little baby. And every time I lay that baby down in the crib, I'm like, okay. And I set the baby down, and then I lay down in bed for 15 minutes, and then I get out the flashlight and I check to make sure that he's sleeping right and he's not like underneath his blanket, right? I'm that parent. It doesn't seem like I would be. I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky, carefree-seeming kind of guy, right, Marcy? I'm terrified. I get so nervous about this kind of stuff, and I always have been, as soon as we had kids, because life is so fragile. And then say he grows up and he starts to be a toddler. I want him to be a decent human being. I don't want him to like run around and like treat the other kids like hitting them with trucks and stuff. I don't want him to like to not love his neighbor. I don't want him to not have empathy for the people around him. I have big plans for what I want Malachi to be. And I imagine I see a few people who have maybe gone through this before. Smiling with their eyes, because I think this is a normal thing. It's the way I feel about my younger siblings. It's the way I feel about anyone that we care and love about. We want good things for them. And for those of us who, like me, have these grand delusions where I think somehow I'm going to force them to happen, the news that God is the one who's in control is something that is very frustrating and good and helpful. But there's two big ideas that I want to focus on this morning. The first one is that God births the church, Can you say that with me? God births the church. And the second one is God builds the church. Ready? God builds the church. And if I had thought ahead of time, I could have thought of like some cool motions, but I didn't. So you think of your own motions and do them in your head or with your hands. Those are the two things. God births the church and God builds the church. For God to empower, to give power to the church must first be reborn. It must be birthed into new life as individuals and as a community. John 3, 1 to 6, bear with me. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council who comes to Jesus with questions. And what does Jesus say to him? I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. How many times has this sermon been preached? But Nicodemus's question, I get it. It's very practical. How can someone be born again? And Jesus says it's not just about seeing the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the Spirit, because the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And what we're talking about is being reborn, not physically, but in our innermost being. It is the Holy Spirit who births us into new life. And each person who's here on Zoom, hi, it's so good to see you. Each person is a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle every time that someone, because it's out of almost nothing. Life comes. And God sees you and says, it is good. Because you are God's handiwork. And you are made with value and beauty. Zion Mennonite Church has been around for 136 years. And it is only God who could have birthed this congregation. And the Mennonite Church, the Big C Church, us as individuals, all of these being brought into God's story, being brought into God's kingdom, being brought into God's work in the world is something that only the Holy Spirit could do. The inner transformation that happens in our hearts as we turn our lives towards Jesus and experience that fruit that will last, that takes root in our hearts. John 3 says we cannot see or enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. And it's not something that we can do on our own. The being brought into life, my parents, we're not going to get into all that. It's just the very beginning. Birth is just the very beginning. And I've heard people say it many times about wedding days. The wedding is not the marriage. Have you ever heard someone say that before or something to that gist? It's like this one moment is the beginning of a journey, right? The moment where there's some medical professionals. Are there any medical? I know there's a few. Marcus and Kevin, Hannah and Jackson. Okay. When you got your certifications, license, whatever it's called, where you suddenly became able to do what you do, that wasn't the sum of what you would do for people in our community. It was the very beginning where the door was open for you to actually use and become and share and help be a part of caring for the world around you. Being birthed into new life is just the beginning. And sometimes in the church, you know, we've said those magic words about wanting to experience new life and being born again. And then we've thought that's the entirety of the journey. It's the very first moment. Get out the door and start using what you've just begun to start. Next week is Pentecost, and that is when God pours out the Holy Spirit and the church is born. And it's something that we should celebrate because it is the Spirit of God that is poured out, and that Spirit of God bears fruit in our world and brings change that only God can do. So that's the first one. God births the church. Second one, I usually set a timer. Little tidbit about Seth's preaching. I usually set a timer, but I was so excited when I got up here, I forgot to hit the timer start, so here we go. Okay, secondly, God builds the church. I want us to remember Matthew 16 verses 13 through 18. Jesus comes to this region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus says, but what about you? who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because what was revealed to you is not by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Peter, the rock, right? Who says all the silly things that everyone else is thinking, or he has these questions that kind of pop up. Peter is not the rock that the church is built on. It says, your name, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build the church. It is the confession of Jesus Christ as the Messiah that is the rock on which Christ will build the church. It is the confession. That is the bedrock, the foundation. On Peter's confession, that doesn't come out of his mouth because of something that Peter has sorted out in his own brain. It's not like Peter had all this empirical evidence and all these clues, and then he figured it out. He's like, ah, you're the Messiah. No, Jesus is very careful to say, what you have just figured, what just popped into your brain wasn't from humans. And it wasn't because you're so clever, Peter. It's the Spirit of God that has revealed this to you. Only the Spirit of God could reveal such a profound thing. And it's on that confession of what the Holy Spirit has revealed to Peter that Jesus will build Jesus's church. It's the whole story of God's story that we're talking about. It's only by God's power that the church can be the church. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed the disciples to heal the man who couldn't walk from last week. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that sweeps Philip up and sends him to the desert road so he can tell the Ethiopian eunuch about the good news that the Ethiopian eunuch could be a part of God's community and family. And he is baptized right there into God's family. It's only the Holy Spirit's power that can do that. It is the power of the Holy Spirit blowing and breathing new life in us here at Zion Mennonite Church and in our homes. That is the life of the church. God's Spirit empowering us to breathe and to run and to move and to be the church so that healing and hope, God's healing and hope, can flow through us to the world. Amen? Amen. We all have to remember how to be together at some point. But we'll let that happen in little by little, I think. And so it looks different how we planned. And I spent a lot of time in the car with my friend Greg Yoder and yesterday. And we spent a lot of time trying to tease out this next little piece. Because I feel like it's really difficult. And usually we say it in ways that don't do it full justice. John 3 tells us that the Spirit blows and breathes and moves in ways that are surprising. Are you with me? Surprising. Ways that seem unpredictable. You can't tell where it's coming from. You can't tell where it's going. That's the way that the Spirit seems to move. And Nicodemus says, how can this be? I know that whenever I found myself walking, some of you have walked through things that are much harder than I have. This isn't some sort of like, it's not what it's, we're not trying to compare. I'm just saying that like, when I found myself in the darkest valley of the shadow of death and walking with people that I love through that valley, I feel like sometimes it feels like, honestly, like I can't even look for God's hope. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It's like, it's too hard. If God's hope doesn't find me there, I'm certainly not going to find it for myself. Because it's too hard. It's too broken. And what I want you to catch from this, I'm almost done. What I want you to catch from this isn't that like, it's that like somehow this miraculous birthing and building work of the Holy Spirit in us, in our individual lives and in our congregation is something that only God can do. And it's okay if you don't even have like the ability to look for it. If you don't even have the ability, if it feels like the gates of Hades are going to overcome you, I want you to know that like there's resurrection and there's good news and there's hope and like it's and we're with you and we love you And as a congregation, even if it's like, even if the stuff that weighs on your mind and on your heart when you think about us, whatever that is, like everyone has their own thing, right? For someone, it's probably the color of this carpet. I love the carpet. It's a fantastic carpet. But everyone has something that weighs on them. And some people have a lot of things that weigh on them because of their roles in the church. Thank you for what you do. But whatever that thing is that weighs on you, like, I want you to know that it's Jesus that builds the church. And Jesus is there with you, walking with you. It's not dismissing the things that are weighing on you and that you care about. It's that, like, it's that Jesus is there with you and that Jesus will build Jesus's church. And we get to be a part of that, but you don't have to be Jesus. You can enter into God's rest. We can enter into God's rest and know that we are enough. We are the body of Christ gathered. And we don't have to, I got like 100 things I could say about that. Okay, so this is good news, that Jesus, that God births the church and that God builds the church. I'm gonna share one song, and I'm gonna invite Jackson to come and sing it with me. This is a song that we found in one of the hymnals. I think it was the Blue Hymnal, and it's in the Blue Hymnal. Next time you find it, this is not the music that's written with it. It's called Gracious Spirit, Dwell With Me. And there's a couple different lines in here that really catch me every time I read it. One is that it goes from God's gracious spirit to God's to silent spirit to mighty spirit. And I feel like that's one of the beautiful movements of the Spirit. As we spend the next several weeks talking about God empowering this church, know that the Holy Spirit, like if you just need God's grace right now, like that's what God is reaching out with you with. If you need God to, if you need God's Spirit to be silent with you now, God's silent Spirit is here with you and will sit with you in the silence. If you need God's mighty Spirit, where if I was by myself, I could not possibly succeed, God's mighty Spirit is also with you. And if you need God's Spirit to help you break from sin and choose the good, that is also what the Spirit is here for. Okay? I'm going to sing the song and that'll be the end. I didn't think about how wound up I'd be at the end of the sermon and then try to sing at the end of a sermon. We'll see how this goes.
Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life when mine reveal, and with actions bold and meek, would for Christ my Savior speak. Silent Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would silent be. Quiet as the growing blade, which through earth its way has made. Silently like morning light, putting mists and chills to flight. Mighty Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would mighty be, mighty so as to prevail, where unaided I must fail, ever by a mighty hope, pressing on and bearing up. Thank you. Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would wholly be to break from sin and choose the good and cherish what my Savior would. And whatever I would be, give to the one who gave.